for Leologos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. Leologos Radio with Michael Nevaralekis begins now.
Welcome to another edition of Leologos Radio, the worldwide Greek radio program airing on 26 radio stations across 5 countries, 4 continents, and online, where today we are welcoming the latest addition to our global broadcast network, WXDR 98.9 FM Dolphin Radio in New Orleans. My name is Michael Nevradakis, and today on our program and on the Leologos interview series, we will feature an interview with Nikos Logothetis, a former member of the board with the Greek Statistical Authority, also known as ELSTAT, who will speak to us today about a major and ongoing scandal in Greece regarding allegations that have been made that Greece's deficit and debt figures were augmented fraudulently by ELSTAT and its former president, Andreas Georgiou, to provide the impetus to drag Greece under Troika supervision and under the destructive austerity and memorandum regime. Logothetis will speak to us about these allegations, the recent judicial decisions against Georgiou, and the court cases which are still ongoing and pending. This interview is coming up now here on Leologos Radio and the Leologos Interview Series. The Leologos Interview Series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Leologos Radio. Joining us today on Leologos Radio in the Leologos Interview Series is Nikos Logothetis, former board member of the Greek Statistical Authority, ELSTAT, who will speak with us today about the background and current status of the well-known case regarding the augmentation of Greece's deficit figures, which provided the impetus to impose austerity politics in Greece. Mr. Logothetis, welcome back to our program.
Thank you, Mr. Nevaralakis. Nice to hear from you.
Let's begin with a discussion about Andreas Georgiou, the embattled former president of ELSTAT, who oversaw the augmentation of the Greek deficit. Describe for us Georgiou's background prior to taking on the role of president of ELSTAT. Was Georgiou even a statistician?
No, he wasn't. The operation of the Hellenic Statistical Authority, ELSTAT, okay, as a continuation of the initial National Statistical Service, as we called it, officially began in late June of 2010. This was the time that the members of ELSTAT's management board were selected and approved by the Conference of the Parliament Presidents with a vote majority of 4/5. Georgiou has been working in the IMF, International Monetary Fund, since the late 80s, 1980s. For a few years before he came to Greece, he was deputy head of division, of the IMF Statistics Department, the Financial Institution Division. However, the Ministry of Finance announced the appointment of ELSTAT's board of directors through a press release to all Greek newspapers. In that press release, he presented Georgiou as deputy head of the entire IMF statistics department, a very big department in IMF, a very important one. Thus, hiding his actual organizational position in the IMF. An economic nature position rather than statistical nature position. And all this in a subordinate division of the statistics department. obviously, the objective of the Minister of Finance then was to present him as an experienced statistician with a significant management position at the IMF, who supposedly left America and came here to save Greece by putting in order all its statistics. In fact, this gentleman was not only unable to run an important institution such as Elstat with over 1,000 employees, but he wasn't even a statistician with no academic publications and no knowledge of statistics. Moreover, for at least 6 months after assuming the Elstat presidency, Georgiou still held his organizational position at the IMF, something that was explicitly forbidden by Elstat's founding law 3832 of 2010. That was explicitly forbidden.
We are on the air with Nikos Logothetis, former board member of the Greek statistical authority Elstat, here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. What were the actions which were undertaken by Georgiou as president of Elstat? In other words, how were the Greek deficit and debt figures manipulated, and in what other ways were Greece's official economic figures altered?
First of all, Georgiou's first moves were to remove from the other members of the board any ability and initiative to propose discussion topics or to be involved in the calculation of a deficit and debt. They were forbidden even to communicate with the remaining staff of Elstat. This behavior of Georgiou was not only due to his inability to act as a manager, but also to the fact that he understood from the very beginning, even from the second meeting of the board in September 2010, our refusal to adopt the deficit and debt calculation procedures he wanted to follow. And he knew that eventually the majority of the board members would not approve the deficit figures, his deficit figures, okay, due to be officially published before the end of October of 2010. Shortly afterwards, after the last meeting of the board in early October, that was the last meeting of the meeting of the board in early October 2010. The final silencing of the whole board followed, and we were never convened again, thus leaving the way free for Georgiou, always under the auspices of senior Eurostat executives, on the one hand to change the founding law, as he always wanted. He always wanted to turn Elstat into one-person authority. And on the other hand, to inflate the 2009 figures with anything moving. Exactly how he did this, it became clear later, but we had suspected soon enough what he was going to do. My first disagreement with him was when I realized he would add on the deficit figures and the national and on the national debt of Greece, the Tsimitis swaps, that is the swaps that Tsimitis had made use of in 2001 in order for Greece to get accepted in the Eurozone. Allow me here, Mr. Navradakis, if you don't mind, to briefly explain what these swaps are, as they indicate clearly an activity representative of the statistical mishandlings that had always been being used and are still taking place in our country. Every time the government's leaders want to achieve something that aims in communication or financial benefits for themselves or for third parties. Swaps are a type of a bond, a banking derivative, or simply a stock exchange bet. It's a bet of currencies exchange. Many countries or people who have a personal debt do it after having a loan. Okay, let's for example, even now they're doing it, converting their existing debt into currencies of other countries, say in Swiss franc or in Japanese yen, betting that the value of that currency will rise, and at the maturity of this bet, the owner will gain from the difference in the value of currency. In a way, what happened at that time was that much of Greece's debt was converted into yen, but at a price that the yen had in 1995, which was higher than that of 2001. Remember, the swaps were made in 2001, but the price that had the yen of 1995 was that the one that was used for this swap. I put a big question here, a question mark here, because I don't know how legitimate this was to consider that is as valid an exchange value for the yen for 6 years ago. But anyway, this was what happened. And from this action, we were theoretically winning an amount of 2.8 billion euros, which, again, theoretically, reduced our debt by this amount, and also the annual deficit below 3%, thus meeting the requirement of the Maastricht Treaty for our entry into the Eurozone. But let us not forget, however, that this was a bet. Okay, let's say stock exchange bond with a starting and a maturity date. And its expiration time was in 30 years. And at that time, there was no European regulation that could apply in order to cash in this swap before its maturity. And as a result, your debt to go up or down, okay? But however, Mr. Rademacher, the general director of Eurostat, the statistical authority of Europe, at the time of ERU, decides only for Greece and only for that time, and while the value of yen had collapsed, that this swap value to be included in our total debt, thus raising our national debt by 21 billion because of the losses of the yen. You know, this was the loss incurred by the collapse of the yen at that time. So we found ourselves with an additional fiscal debt of 21 billion euros. Now, Rademacher's additional act was to instruct ERU to divide this amount by four and include what came out of it, out of division by four, in the deficits of the years 2001, 2008, 2007, and 2006. So eventually, for 2001 and all the three previous years, we found ourselves with an additional deficit of about 5.5 billion. I'm pointing out again that swaps should not be used in any way before their maturity in order to influence negatively or positively the then fiscal debt, okay, let alone the yearly deficit. Another illegal swellings of the ongoing deficit made by ERU include the inclusion of 3.6 billion hospital costs that were not even approved by the Court of Auditors. The Court of Auditors is one of the three institutions of Greek justice, along with the Supreme Court and the Council of State. And anyway, that was not approved by the Court of Auditors. This cost, as it turned out later, no one committed and no one was paid for them. And finally, the major swelling of the budget deficit was emerged by an overnight inclusion of the deficits of 17 public utilities, violating many Eurostat criteria and rules. That alone added 18.2 billion, equivalent to $20 billion, to the fiscal debt of Greece. And as a result of all the above, Greece ended up with a huge deficit of for 2009. Year of 2009 of 36 billion, or equivalently 15.4% as a percentage of the gross domestic product. Which, what happened with that? This legitimated the first memorandum, paved the way for the second and worst memorandum, and justified the imposition of these cumbersome austerity measures, such as pension cuts and tax increases, huge tax increases, measures we're still suffering today.
Dominique Strauss-Kahn himself, the former president of the International Monetary Fund, has gone on the record as saying that he met with George Papandreou to discuss an IMF so-called bailout of Greece in April 2009. This was several months before Papandreou was elected as prime minister of Greece, and at a time when Papandreou was saying while campaigning that plenty of money existed to fund the social programs he was promising to Greek voters. Do you believe that the economic crisis in Greece was perhaps preordained or pre-planned?
Yes, I do. In my opinion, joining these medieval memoranda that have brought about this economic crisis that Greece is still experiencing was beyond any doubt pre-planned and predetermined. And this arises not only from Strauss-Kahn's own admission in a TV interview that the IMF has been preparing every detail for this with the Papandreou government since November 2009. It also arises for the many reasons that subsequently became known, for which Greece was chosen by the designers of this, of the future of Europe, I would say, to become the guinea pig and the example to be avoided in the context of a new economic policy for handling the member countries with fiscal problems. Indeed, the policy of the memoranda gave the opportunity not only to the IMF to put a foot in Europe, until then its activities always was with devastating consequences, but they were limited to developing countries in Africa and Latin America. Anyway, they got a foot in Europe. Took that opportunity, but also gave the opportunity to the French German banks to get rid of their so-called toxic bonds that were loaded onto the Greek people by turning a private debt into a state debt. In order to achieve all this, of course, they had to plant the appropriate person in Elstat. At the time when certain statistical adjustments were required in order to support their treacherous plan. Where did this lead eventually? To the consolidation and time extension of Greek state bankruptcy.
We are speaking with Nikos Logothetis, former board member of the Greek statistical authority Elstat, here on Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. From what I understand, Andreas Georgiou is no longer in Greece, despite the fact that various legal cases and judicial decisions are outstanding against him. Where does Georgiou find himself today, and what is he presently involved with?
He's away. Because he knows what he's faced with trials and legal cases. So Georgiou is currently in his comfortable villa at the Maryland district of USA. He left Greece in the summer of 2015, 1 month before the end of his five-year term as Elstat chairman. Coincidentally, this was shortly after his call from the House of Parliament to testify in the examination committee that had been formed at that time to investigate the reasons for our accession to the first memorandum. He never came to the examining room, pretending to be in the hospital with pneumonia. Who on earth had ever heard of a pneumonia case in the middle of a Greek summer? But anyway, immediately after this, after his discharge from the hospital, he left for America. I repeat, 1 month before the end of his term and without requesting a renewal of the presidency position. for another 5 years. He could do that, but he didn't. Apparently, having realized that he could not have avoided the imminent court hearing about the prosecutions for breach of duty and for the felony of inflating the deficit figures, which in the legal language is expressed as a felony of false certification at the expense of the state, together with the aggravating order for public abusers. Very impressive legal phrase. This is a law category that essentially leads to life imprisonment. I presume that this time he's engaged in preparing his defense through statements lodged by his lawyers in Greece, with him missing, being absent in every trial that is taking place about him.
A few months ago, Andreas Georgiou was found guilty by the Greek justice system. What were the charges for which Georgiou was convicted and sentenced?
Okay, there are two convictions he had this year. In March, Georgiou, in a criminal, not yet civil court, was convicted irrevocably for libel. For reiterated defamation, and he was given 1 year imprisonment with 3 years suspension. The first instance he appealed through his lawyers, but the Penal Court of Appeals condemned Georgiou again, giving him the same sentence as in the first instance. Georgiou's crime was that an Elstat news release, in an official Elstat news release, Georgiou accused Dr. Nicholas Stroblos of being a statistical swindler, obviously trying to divert guilt from him for statistical fraud to Stroblos. I'm pointing out here that Dr. Stroblos is the former director of the National Accounts Department of Elstat, whom Georgiou has legally replaced with one of his now co-defendants. Consequently, Dr. Stroblos sued him in both criminal and civil courts for this, and apart from the 1 year imprisonment conviction by the criminal court, the civil court fined Georgiou with €10,000 for false character damages. His most recent conviction is concerned with one of the three accusations included in the prosecution for breach of duty. The first accusation was related to the fact that he was in parallel for several months, from July to November 2010, as head of the authority in Greece, but also as an employee of the IMF, a duplication of employment explicitly prohibited by Elstat's founding law, 3832, demanded him to work exclusively and with full employment in the Elstat board. In this way, he, Georgiou, deluded the Greek parliament about his ongoing post with IMF. Not that IMF is one of the lenders of Greece. While at the same time, he had accepted the post of the chair for Elstat board. He would not have been selected as Elstat president, not even as a simple member of the board, had the barman known about his double post. The second accusation was concerned with the fact that he did not convene the Elstat board for a whole year, violating the law which required convergence at least once a month, while the third accusation, and the most important of all three, was concerned with the fact that the decision to endorse the revised figures for 2009 deficit was taken only by him, without the agreement of the other members of the board. which had been selected, I remind you, and approved exactly for this purpose, by the Conference of the Parliament of Presidents, with a majority of 4/5. The accusation for which he was, he was convicted in the context of the breach of duty. And this had to do with the publication, of deficit figures without our approval, as required by law. Georgiou appealed to the Supreme Court for this conviction, and we are waiting to see what happens, what the Supreme Court will say about it. However, he was acquitted for the accusation that he did not convene the Elstat board. Although this is interconnected with the non-convergence of the board for the approval of the data for which he was convicted. So we ended up with an oxymoron situation here. He was also acquitted of the charge that while he was a member of the IMF, that is to say a servant of the lender, he was also a chairman of Elstat, that is a servant of the borrower, something that is inconceivable worldwide and yet happened in today's occupied and economically enslaved Greece. Naturally, the people who were present in the courtroom were annoyed and protested for these acquittals, but when he heard when they heard the announcement of the third charge, they were relieved, of course. And for this charge, he was sentenced to 2 years imprisonment with a 3-year suspension, without being, of course, granted any mitigation. I, together with Ms. Yorgada, filed an objection against the court judgment for this, for innocence of this accusation, two accusations that he was acquitted. And we expect the Supreme Court's decision whether or not Georgiou will go to a new trial for these two accusations. That means that at the moment these judgments, the two acquittal judgments, cannot be considered irrevocable. But it's true that the most important accusation for which Georgiou desperately wanted to be acquitted was the one for which he got convicted. Indeed, the fact that Georgiou published the inflated elements of the deficit without approval by the Elstat board does not only prove his guilt for the second accusation of not convening the board, as he should, but it also implies a deception because he knew that his swollen deficit figures would never be accepted by the majority of the board members, and that this disagreement would sooner or later become public and reveal the irregularities that he used with the help of Eurostat itself, thus resulting in the failure of the whole plan to legitimize the first memorandum and to impose the onerous austerity measures we're having. And that was not acceptable, of course, and they have to use him.
Following the guilty verdicts against Andreas Georgiou this past spring, a barrage of positive coverage and PR in favor of Georgiou appeared in the Greek and international media, including Bloomberg, The Washington Post, and Politico. We also heard numerous statements of support from major political figures in Greece, the European Union, and elsewhere. These statements criticized the supposed lack of independence of the Greek justice system in the verdicts against Georgiou. How would you describe or characterize Georgiou's network of support within and outside of Greece and these arguments made in his favor?
Yes, indeed, various misleading statements have been heard and continue to be heard in support of Georgiou, trying to sanctify him, to elevate him as a serious personality, and as an honest scientist. And all this in order to justify everything he legally did as Elstat president. All that said are myths circulated by those domestic and foreign supporters of your EU who are desperate in succeeding that the case is not brought to the Court of Justice, this major case, for the major case of the swelling of the deficit figures. But this also proves their own guilt in the matter. If they really believe that your EU is innocent and that we are the slanderers and the liars, why don't they let the Greek justice do the job and then prove his presumed innocence in a court hearing? I would even expect your EU himself to be the first who would grab this opportunity to be redeemed. But this fierce effort of all his supporters to prevent the case being brought to trial reveals their panic as well as their guilt, because they know very well that in the forthcoming court hearing, all the evidence will be revealed, proving that Greece has suffered the greatest national betrayal since the time of the Thermopylae treason. Their own participation in the betrayal will also be revealed. Indeed, the guilty core of this support network, as you call it, includes primarily Eurostat, whose senior staff advised your EU on how to inflate the 2009 deficit and also how to change Elstat's founding law, statistical law, in order to neutralize the rest of the board. Imagine, therefore, what impact would your EU's conviction would have on the Eurostat's image, whose political chief is Commission, okay, Brussels. That is one-third of the Troika, whatever that implies, of course, for many high-ranking political figures in the European Union and beyond. So one can clearly understand why high-level manager from Eurostat and major political figures from EU itself are continuing in building a wall of protection and support for your EU in the hope that the government and the Supreme Court of Greece will believe all these myths they are promoting, the most usual of which, if you're patient enough, I can explain that they are the following. First means they say that in recent years your EU was acquitted many times, but the prosecutions against him continue. That's what they say. Okay, the first myth. The supporters of your EU claim again and again that your EU was acquitted. That is not, it's not true. The acquittal may occur only and only after the irrevocable final judgment in a court trial, or even after an exonerating court order accepted by the Supreme Court. Until now, all rulings arising from your EU, for your EU, okay, were appealed against by the Supreme Court, whereas he's not acquitted irrevocably for any trial or for any verdict that he had against him. On the contrary, he has had an irrevocable conviction for defamation, as I said before, and the conviction for one of the three accusations for breach of duty, for which the Supreme Court's decision is awaited whether or not it will become irrevocable. But the other two accusations for breach of duty that he has been acquitted, as I have already said, for these we have filed a complaint, and they cannot therefore be considered as irrevocable or something that can be considered something that he can get away with it, okay? So it's not surprising that prosecutions against him still continue. So it's a myth when they say that he was acquitted many times Nothing happened so far. The second myth goes like follows. Your EU took over the presidency of Stade after the first memorandum. He cannot therefore be regarded responsible for the memorandum and the economic crisis that followed. Well, indeed, when your EU took action in Elstad, we were already under the first memorandum. Okay. If you remember, our entry in the first memorandum was announced by Mr. George Papandreou with his speech in Castellorizo in April 2010. And the reason for this was allegedly the high level of the 2009 deficit, which was put by Papandreou at 13.6% of GDP, the gross domestic product. That's equivalent to about 30 billion euros. However, this was not the real deficit, but the prediction of Papandreou, prediction of what it would be after all the relevant calculations were to take place. And Papandreou did not have the right to take such an important decision that would affect so much the Greek society based only on a prediction that had not even been approved by the Court of Auditors. We would be the ones, as Elstad's management board, to supervise these calculations of the actual deficit, to approve it and publish it in October 2010, 6 months later. Actually, if we were given the opportunity to do that and find these deficit figures to be less than 10%, we could be able to denounce the first memorandum and cancel it. And, of course, the rest of the memoranda that followed. But obviously, this would not be something that the designers of the first memorandum wished to happen. And so the appropriate person should be found who, with specific statistical adjustments to the deficit of 2009, would confirm the validity of Papandreou's deficit forecast in April 2010. And fully justify our entry into the first memorandum. This is what I wanted. Furthermore, in order to avoid any controversies with the rest of the board that could endanger their plan, it was decided to neutralize not only the dissidents in the board, okay, but the whole of the Elstad's board. As a result of all three unlawful actions, three or four, I don't even remember how many, the first memorandum was legitimized, the door opened by the second, for the second, and the worst memorandum, obviously the rest of the memoranda that followed, and for the austerity measures that have been going on since then. Therefore, it's perhaps wrong to say that the first memorandum was due to your EU. It's more appropriate to say that all memoranda and their relevant medieval austerity measures that we still have on our backs are actually due to your EU. The third myth. Since Eurostat has approved your EU's practices and figures, they must be right. Correct. They must be correct. But would it be possible for Eurostat not to approve the statistics, these statistics provided by your EU and the methods of administration he was using? It was Eurostat director himself, Mr. Vandermeijer, who gave orders to your EU as to what data to add to the deficit. Correspondence has been revealed which shows from Vandermeijer to your EU how to add to the 4 year this amount of debt that incurred by the Simitis swaps. Remember, we talked about it, how to add it in the 4 year deficits until 2001. Prior to the expiry date, as we previously explained. And although no European regulation existed at the time that would allow this. But anyway, they added this to the total fiscal data economic deficit debt that we had in the 4 years from 2006 to 2009. Also, it was the permanent representative of Eurostat at Elstat, Mr. Snorrason, who, with the assistance of Eurostat's legal advisor, Mr. Samuelson, who advised ERU on how to change Elstat's founding law in order to turn Elstat into a one-man authority. So it's not surprising, therefore, that Eurostat approved the practices and deficit figures of ERU. Of course, but that does not mean they were correct. And the final myth that I wanted to mention is that they're saying ERU applied all proper European regulations. On the contrary, most European regulations and Eurostat's own criteria for the deficit and debt calculation were violated by ERU and his advisors from Eurostat in order to justify the unjustifiable integration of deficits of many public utilities in the 2009 deficit, something that requires a thorough study of several months for each public utility. You can't just decide to include the deficit of a utility in the public debt. You need a thorough study, several months, even 6 months. So what kind of proper European regulations did you actually apply? I wonder. No one knows.
We are on the air with Nikos Logothetis, former board member of the Greek Statistical Authority, Elstat, here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Interview Series. What is plainly evident is that there is a very extensive and very powerful network of support for Andreas Georgiou, a network which includes powerful media voices, major politicians and political figures, major centers of power and influence, and decision-making. How can such a powerful and seemingly unified network of political and media forces even be countered by the Greek people?
Indeed, ERU's support network, perhaps composed of high-ranking political executives, domestic and foreign, okay, is indeed powerful. But no matter how much influence this network can have on the political affairs of Greece, I think it is not in a position to influence the Greek justice system, which I consider impartial. The fact that the case has reached up to the level of Supreme Court, which Supreme Court has so far justified many of our objections and appeals against the ERU, gives us the hope that ultimately the systemic power network that exists supporting him can be successfully dealt with. You see, at the end of the day, our justice system, perhaps the only irreproachable institution in our country, seems to have borne the burden of this matter. But I believe that the truth will soon be revealed, no matter how many powerful political and media forces try to impose an acquittal verdict for traitors.
What are the judicial cases which are still outstanding regarding the Elstat case and Andreas Georgiou? What are the charges which Georgiou is still facing? And what is your expectation regarding the outcome of these cases?
Well, most importantly, the case of the false inflation of the data and of the breach of duty by Georgiou are crimes of public document forgery and violation of law, respectively. As I have already said, Georgiou was convicted of one and the more important accusation of three related to the breach of duty, that of the publication of 2009 deficit figures without the approval of the Elstat board. However, he has been acquitted for the other two, as we said before, the duplication of his appointment in IMF and Elstat, for the non-convening of the board, But we have applied against these two verdicts of innocence for the breach of duty, and we hope that the Supreme Court will decide to repeat this the trial for these two related charges. But the most important judicial case we're waiting for is for the felony of inflating the deficit, something that, as I said before, had as a result the legalization of the first memorandum, the imposing of the second and worst memorandum, and the justification of the cumbersome austerity measures. This is the time when these measures were imposed, obviously under the excuse that otherwise we will not be able to repay the related loan agreement. If this affair reaches the trial courts, we certainly expect Yuriev to be convicted, because the evidence we have against him is irrefutable and undeniable. This is what Yuriev's supporters know. That's why they push as hard as they can to prevent the case from reaching the High Court of Justice.
We are speaking with Nikos Logothetis, former board member of the Greek Statistical Authority, ELSTAT, here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Interview Series. In what way do you believe the verdicts which will be reached by the Greek justice system concerning the ELSTAT and Yuriev cases impact the future of Greece, and particularly with regard to the austerity politics and memorandums which are being imposed and the non-serviceable public debt of Greece?
Yeah, I agree with you that the Greek debt is non-serviceable. Even if we ever get away from the memoranda, we don't get free from the related loan agreement. And we will continue to be under supervision by EU until we repay 75% of our debt, something impossible for the next 60 years. If, however, as we hope, there is going to be an irrevocable conviction of Yuriev for the act of inflating the deficit figures, this will prove that we were imposed all these medieval memoranda using false figures, which gives Greece the right to claim compensation from the European Union for the damage we suffered in the years, the last 7 years for the financial crisis. And Article 340 of the Treaty for the Functioning of the European Union gives us the right to claim this compensation. And we have even estimated the financial loss since your use set foot in Greece, a cost that may well exceed 210 billion euros. A compensation of this level will certainly overturn the distressing economic situation we're experiencing today. However, I emphasize again that a necessary condition is an irrevocable conviction of Yuriev regarding the felony of inflating the deficit figure. And what about these instigators who used Yuriev to carry out their treacherous plan? Even Grigoris Peponis, the impeccable investigator who proposed the criminal prosecution of Yuriev in the first place, had suggested that the possible existence of certain instigators within the Greek and European political system who directed Yuriev on what to do have to be taken into consideration. These are the ones who don't want the case to reach an open court hearing, the ones who are so desperate for the acquittal of Yuriev as early as possible in order to cover their own involvement in the above crime. Because they're well aware that we have evidence of their unlawful interventions in inflating the deficit, but also in transforming ELSTAT from an independent authority into a one-man authority. If the Supreme Court sends Yuriev for trial in the High Court of Justice, all his supporters know that this will mean a certain conviction for him. Okay, their support network will then collapse. And they will be found accused of betrayal against their homeland and of crimes against its citizens. our country will then automatically pass from an underprivileged position of a beggar to the strong position of a challenger, okay, on the basis of specific articles of the treaty, of the functioning of the European Union itself. As far as we're concerned, we don't really care about the strict or no strict punishment of Andreas Georgiou, who is now a pensioner of the IMF. What interests us is to prove his guilt and to remove the injustice that has been committed against Greece through the false inflation of public debt and deficit of 2009, and to also prove the criminal involvement of European Commission and Eurostat. This will only be done when the case is referred to an open court hearing in which Eurostat and Georgiou will have to be present in order to testify under oath whether or not they have falsely inflated the statistical figures of Greece and the reasons they did so. I do not know when and if this will happen sometime, and how many battles we have to give from now on in order to achieve this. Some tell us that there's no point in continuing to fight, as it seems that with such a front of support for your EU by strong decision centers, the battle has already been judged against us. We reply that if we stop fighting, there will be simply no other battle, something we don't want. Because let's not forget what Bertolt Brecht said once, if you keep trying for something, you may fail. If you stop trying, you have already failed.
Before we wrap up, and looking at the situation in Greece today and the economic claims that are being made by the Greek government that the country has returned to economic growth and that Greece has turned a corner, do you believe that the Greek statistical figures today are credible, or are they perhaps still being manipulated?
Unfortunately, statistical figures have always been exploited by any government in power so far in Greece. We have seen this happen with the alchemies of swaps in order to get into the Eurozone, I remember. By the way, I wished we never got into the Eurozone in the first place. Our economy was not in a position to handle such a strong and competitive currency. But anyway, we saw another exploitation of the statistical figures of the deficit this time. They became the reason for an economic crisis of the past 7 years. I cannot say what is happening these days with the statistical figures. I'm not in Elstat. But anyway, we will find out sooner or later what will happen. The truth always comes out. For any case of mishandling of the statistical figures, we've seen this happening. But as long as there is no reliable team to correctly manage the handling of the statistical data in the Greek statistical authority, I'm afraid we should again expect irregularities and alchemies of the statistical data, unfortunately.
Well, Mr. Logothetis, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today here on Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series, and for sharing your insights with us today. Best of luck with your continued efforts.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nevravlakis. I'll be glad to hear from you again.
Follow Dialogos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/dialogosmedia and at twitter.com/dialogosmedia.
Find Dialogos Radio's programming in iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can now download our podcasts and listen to Dialogos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere in iTunes, iPhones, iPads, and on Apple TV. Check us out today in Apple Podcasts and in iTunes Internet Radio. We just concluded the Dialogos interview series for this week here on Dialogos Radio, and our interview with Nikos Logothetis, former board member of the Greek Statistical Authority, or ELSTAT, regarding the major allegations that Greece's deficit and other economic figures were augmented and falsified, dragging Greece under the ongoing austerity regime and memorandums as a result. As always, podcasts of our interviews are available on our website, dialogosmedia.org, in the Dialogos Radio apps for Android, Kindle, and Chrome, in Apple Podcasts and TuneIn.com, and in other well-known podcast directories and services. On our website, you can also find our show archives, our articles and written work, see what's coming up on future editions of Dialogos Radio, and hear our online radio station, Dialogos Radio 24/7. Join us on the next English language edition of Dialogos Radio for an interview with Eric Toussaint of the Committee for the Abolition of Illegitimate Debt, based in Brussels, who will speak to us about his role as the scientific director of Greece's Debt Truth Auditing Committee, the findings of this committee, the issue of the Greek debt and how it really developed and whether it is legitimate debt or not. And Toussaint will also analyze claims made by the likes of Alexis Tsipras and Yanis Varoufakis about the economic policies followed by the current government and the solutions that were actually on the table for Greece. Until then, for Dialogos Radio, this is Michael Nevradakis. Thanks for joining us.
Έχω ένα μυστικό, ένα μικρό σταυρό στο σώμα μου και έναν εσπερινό στα λόγια μου. Έχω και μια πληγή, μια ανοιχτή ευχή στο χέρι μου να πίνεις κάθε αυγή, αστέρι μου. Κάθε που βραδιάζει το όνειρό μου μοιάζει να είναι ποταμός. Σκοτάδι του έρωτα σημάδι, το όνειρό του άδει είναι ο ουρανός. Έχω ένα φυλαχτό, ένα μικρό θεό στον ύπνο μου και έναν αυγερινό στο κήπο μου. Και κάθε Κυριακή είμαι στη μικρή μου αυλή, χάνομαι, γεννιέμαι απ' την αρχή και αισθάνομαι. Κάθε που βραδιάζει το όνειρό μου μοιάζει να είναι ποταμός. Σκοτάδι του έρωτα σημάδι.